It's Saturday, the 7th of May, 2016. Happy birthday to Tyler Johnson. Welcome to the Red Rock Basketball Monster Show, brought to you by Loot Crate and Servi 627. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to sponsor the podcast like Servi 627, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes, and you can be that sponsor. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball. And if you are watching this podcast live on YouTube, that's how you can interact with the show. Today's show, I think, will be a little bit of a quicker one, a few time constraints on this end, but we're still going to cover all the relevant information. So
let's get to it.
All right, we're looking at this game. We're starting this podcast just as the Thunder Spurs game is wrapping up, and we're going to head straight into the monstrous line of the night. And it is Russell Westbrook who had his moments in this game. He had some bad Russ moments. He had some good Russ moments, but overall, he was the top DFS scorer of the night. He went for 31 points. He had 3 triples. He had 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal. A horrific 10 of 30 from the field. Hit all 8 of his free throws, and that gave him 50.8 DFS points. Overall, a pretty good night for Russ. He had to spend up quite a bit to get him. He was the most expensive player on the board. He came through with the best overall value, but in terms of value for money-wise, wasn't quite that guy. But you'll see later on when we do the perfect DFS lineup, he was right there in that mix. The best DFS value play of the night was Channing Frye of the Cleveland Cavaliers. He was a minimum salary guy. He put up 35.4 points. He hit 7 triples to go 27-7 in 28 minutes. And that's 2 straight games in this series that Frye has played over 20 minutes, which is a very interesting development. Whether that continues on or not remains to be seen. Obviously, Mozgov's completely out of the rotation. Kevin Love is not having to play much more than 30 minutes at the moment. Richard Jefferson was well down in his playing time today. So an odd development, maybe that's the best way of putting it, but Frye, that's 2 decent games in a row from him. Interesting tournament flyer as we move forward in these playoffs. The DFS dud of the night, which goes to the player who cost over $5,000 but gave you the worst return on your investment, and it's Kent Bazemore, who put up 11 points at his $5,400 salary. I thought Bazemore had a massive chance to bounce back here. It wasn't the case. He had 3 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, and 1 3-pointer. This is peak Bazemore from what we saw before this season. He had a good game 1. He's been bad in games 2 and 3. I don't really know what to make of Bazemore. Great stretches, horrible stretches, good stretches, bad stretches. He's just very, very up and down, very inconsistent. And overall, my heart just keeps telling me that this guy is just not good. Despite some stretches where he'll play well, he just has too many times when he goes missing and can't produce. So interesting situation with Bazemore. Just, I don't know, he's just very, very much up and down to me. All right, let's have a look at the perfect DFS lineup for the 2 games from Friday. At point guard, we had Jeff Teague of the Atlanta Hawks. Teague really struggled in some of the earlier games. Not his best performance, but still, well, not his best performance in those first 2, but 40.2 points, still a pretty decent performance from Teague. The other point guard, Tone Parker, at 4,700, he put up 35.1 points, which is a tremendous ratio in terms of scoring there. So Parker was great there. He was unconscious hitting threes, which is something we don't normally expect from Parker. And he was a guy that I did touch on yesterday, someone I thought if he was spending cheap at point guard, he was one of the guys to go for. At shooting guard, you didn't get much out of your shooting guards on FanDuel. Kyle Korver at 3,800 put up 22.6. He moved to the bench so Thabo Sefolosha could start. He still played 32 minutes, Korver, and that's a decent return, but it's his best game in this series, but not a great return in general. And Danny Green at 4,100 put up just 19.1. Now, Green was really good in this game. It didn't translate to fantasy stats, but defense-wise, key blocks, key threes, key strips, he was superb to me in this game, but it doesn't translate always into fantasy. At small forward, this was always the place to spend up, and the 2 guys that I really would have spent up on were LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard. They find themselves in the perfect lineup. LeBron had 50.6. Kawhi went for 49.7. It was, look, the other guy you could have had there was Durant, but he's had a weird series. He was limited by by Kawhi at times. He looked passive in this game, in opportunities where he should have been calling for the ball and making more movement. It just wasn't happening. Just the Thunder was terrible down the stretch, to be honest. They really, really struggled in getting anything happening offensively. Turnovers from both Westbrook and Durant were really bad. It's not looking good. That power forward, Fry, had 35.4. Kevin Love had 42.5. I reckon he had 40 points in about the first 6 minutes of that game today. He definitely slowed down there. And when the Cavs were rolling in that fourth quarter, it wasn't because of Love's impact, but he still had a massive performance. And Al Horford broke through with 36.7. He had been a little bit limited in those first two games. And the Cavs against centers is always a tough matchup, but Horford at 36.7 with a pretty nice performance. That total would have given you 331.9 points on FanDuel. I'll take a quick break to talk about today's sponsor, which is Loot Crate. And Loot Crate, if you aren't aware, is a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. It's less than $20 a month, and you get 6 to 8 items, including licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items and more. Every month, you have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe, and you receive that month's crate. And when that cutoff happens, it's over. If you're interested in checking out this stuff from Loot Crate, make sure you go to lootcrate.com/redrock. It is the best way to support this podcast. It tells the guys at Loot Crate that you came from this show. And don't just Google Loot Crate. lootcrate.com/redrock is the way to go. And if you're interested in signing up for one of their subscriptions, use the coupon code REDROCK and you save $3 off any new subscription. This month's theme is power. With the onslaught of big summer blockbusters, May is the perfect time to celebrate some of pop culture's unstoppable, unrelenting, and unbeatable characters and objects. The guys at Loot Crate have got things you can carry, something for your kitchen, and a cool figure to go with a monthly t-shirt and pin. It features 2 Marvel items, plus Warcraft, Dragon Ball Z. No one crate should have all this power. Head across to lootcrate.com/redrock and see if you can find some interest in what's happening over there. We have a quick cursory look through the box scores here. Cleveland and Atlanta, the biggest thing to come out of that was the performance of Channing Frye, I think. Yeah, Jefferson played just 10 minutes, Dellavedova down to 12, and Dellavedova's been getting less than 15 in the last couple of games. And Tristan Thompson only played 28 minutes as the Cavs really went scorched earth again, hit 21 threes in this game, and spreading it out is working sensationally well. Irving was great, LeBron was great, Love was great. Smith, not so good, only 6 points on 2 made threes, but still he's out there creating a threat. And the way that they're using Fry, it's going to be interesting to see how they continue to use that Fry-Thompson dynamic up front. And I imagine that Fry is going to get significant run over the rest of this series and maybe even into the conference finals. For the Hawks, they made that change. They started Thabo. He played 29 minutes, went 8-4-2 with 2 threes. At his low salary in a role where he's getting close to 30 minutes, he is a DFS option. Not a great one, but he is one. Bazemore struggled. Dennis Schroeder. Just 12 minutes for 8-2-4. This is the concern with Schroeder. You can't use him in cash. He's definitely more of a tournament option because there are nights when he's just not going to play. And Jeff Teague was great. He went 19 points with 14 assists here. Millsap and Horford, both pretty good. Horford 24-1-3 with 2 steals and 3 blocks. And Millsap went 17-8-4 with 2 steals and a block. So good nights from their 2 best players. The last game of the night was the one that's just concluded. It's the San Antonio Spurs. They go up 2-1. Over the Oklahoma City Thunder with a really entertaining game that was going back and forth. Leonard was great, 31-11 with a steal, a block, and 3 triples. LaMarcus Aldridge continues to be great. Now, didn't hit every one of his shots as he had previously, but 8 of 21, including some ridiculous fall-away, fade-away shots with great defense from Enes Kanter. I know what a sentence that is. And Serge Ibaka, he was hitting so many shots, or key shots. He was great, 24-8. Tony Parker, 19-8-5, easily his best game of the playoffs. And Dan Green went 8-3 with 2 threes and 2 steals and a block. So just doing what he does, great for standard fantasy, seasonal fantasy, daily fantasy, not so much. Dave West, he closed out the game over Tim Duncan. He played 25 minutes for 7 points. Well, Duncan, just the 2 points in 14 minutes. And you'd have to imagine that this is going to be Duncan's last season. He looks like he's struggling a lot at the moment, defensively, offensively, just being able to move. He's 40 years old. It's understandable. Really struggling at the moment. On the Thunder, Durant, 26-5-3. Westbrook had a big game. Ibaka hit 5 triples. He had 15 points, 5 rebounds, and a block. So a nice night from him. Robertson's a non-factor. Steve Adams only had 2 points, and he took 1 shot, Steve Adams, but did have 11 boards, and Kanter struggled again, but was really good defensively. And that goes, I think he deserves some credit for all the shit that he gets given defensively. He was really good defensively on this one. 8-5 in his 19 minutes. And a lot of criticism I see on Twitter about the Thunder's jerseys and their... Yes, I hate the shirts. I hate the sleeves. No problem. but a lot of criticism, they've got the worst color combo logo in the entire league. What's wrong with it? Why does everyone hate the blue and orange? I like it. I think they've got really good jerseys. Like, why does everyone hate all their jerseys? I understand. Hate the sleeves. Absolutely. No issue. The sleeves are terrible. Why does everyone hate everything else that the Thunder do with their jerseys? That is what I would like to know. Also, we saw campaign in this one. Nine minutes for 4 points. No Randy Foy. Just as nature intended. All right, let's head in to look at these games now that we're going to look at for Saturday. There are two of them. Hopefully, we get something resembling basketball in the Toronto-Miami series. The first two games have been just brutally bad. We're back in Miami. The Heat are favored by 5.5 points. The total is a brutally low 188, and that's not ideal. Let's look at the point guard matchup. It's real tough to recommend Lowry. He's at 7,800. The salary amazingly went up $100 from the last game. I don't know how. He only put up 34 in that last game. He just is really struggling. Look, at some point he's going to have a big game. This is 9 straight games where he's been really bad. So it's really tough to use him. Dragic at 6,600 has looked great. He doesn't get enough of the ball still, but at 6,600, I'm much more comfortable using Dragic than Lowry. Corey Joseph plays well on the court, doesn't translate, much like Danny Green, doesn't translate that well into DFS numbers, only averaging 15.5 over the last three. Not a great option, I don't think. At shooting guard, Dwayne Wade really struggled in games, so I think back in Miami he'll be primed for a bigger performance, so I'm okay with looking at him. He's at 7,700, but at $100 less, which is DeMar DeRozan, I think you have to lean DeRozan's way. Yes, he's been brutally inefficient, but he's averaging 40 points across the last three games. He had 37 in game two. He's averaging 35 across the last five. By any sort of metric you can look at, he's outperforming Wade, and you spend less to get him. To me, he's the guy you go for. Joshy Richardson, not getting enough playing time, not translating into stats at 3,800. Not for me. If I'm going with a cheap shooting guard, which Saturday is not really the day to go for cheap shooting guards, Terrence Ross is probably the one. He's at 3,800. He's played 20-plus minutes in the last two games and been relatively effective. It hasn't translated into big DFS points, but as you can see from today's perfect DFS lineup, getting some cheap shooting guards in there, they get 18, 20 points. That's even enough just to fit into a perfect lineup, and Terrence Ross could be that guy. Normie Powell started the last game, played just 8 minutes. He's been outplayed by Ross in the first two games of this series, so he's maybe a tournament fly because we know that he can play well. We know that he can get hot. We know that he can play well defensively, but there's a little bit of risk associated with using him at the moment. On to the small forwards. We're looking at Joe Johnson at 5,100. Yeah, maybe. He's been solid. At 5,100, he's been good, I think, averaging 26 over the last three. He had 29 in the last game. At 5,100, the upside's not massive, but in cash, it's not a bad guy to look out there. Well, Damari Carroll, I've been sprouting on about it, that he's going to have a big game. It's going to pay off. It happened last one. He had 37 points. He's at 4,800, so the salary has only, it's risen 400, but it's not astronomical. You just have to bank on Carroll getting to 25 points again, and I feel relatively confident that he can get to 25, so I do like using Damari here. Justice Winslow, he's been extraordinarily minimized in this series. Luol Deng at 6,500, not the best option, but if you're trying to save a bit of money at power forward, I think you go with him. You hope to get 30 points out of him, maybe even 25. Not a bad matchup. Pat is a non-factor. So is Stoudemire, so is Haslam. At center, we're talking Valanciunas and Whiteside, two of the better centers on the board here. Valanciunas at 7,000 has been tremendous. He can get even better as well. Dwayne Casey's come out saying he wants to give him more post touches, more of the ball. So at 7,000, absolutely love Valanciunas here. He's averaging 41 across his last three. I think, even if you expect 32, 33 out of him, it's great value at 7,000. Whereas Whiteside at 8,200, he's been actually worse than Valanciunas, and you're paying more for him. I'm taking Valanciunas over Whiteside. But if you've got an extra $1,000 to spend, you might consider Whiteside. But if I'm picking between the two, I take Valanciunas and I spend $1,000 somewhere else. The somewhere else I might spend that $1,000 is probably going to be in the next game, and that's the Golden State Warriors and the Portland Trailblazers. The Warriors are favored by 3.5. The total is 211.5 points. Steph Curry is out, so Sean Livingston at 4,800 remains one of the best cheap point guards out there. He got 28 points in the last game. He's averaging 25 across the last three. I think you almost have to run him out there, and you could very easily pair him and Dame Lillard in the backcourt here. Lillard's at 8,500. He's basically going to be a 40-point guy, you'd think, while Steph is out. He's averaging 43 across the last three games, including that game six, or was it, against the Clippers? I think you have to go and use Lillard and Livingston. They're the two best options, I think, at point guard. With the shooting guards, two good options here as well. CJ McCollum, who's been really poor in this series, he's averaging just 25.5 points in the last three contests against the Warriors. He's averaging, he got 29 in the last game, but he's at 7,000. So he's not a great option. I think he's got an opportunity to bounce back here in Portland. So that might lean me towards him, but I'm not massively confident. Klay Thompson at 8,000 without Steph, I think 40 points should be something that he can get close to pretty comfortably. Gerald Henderson's not a bad $3,700 flyer. He had 21 points in the last game. Alan Crabb was limited in that one with his poor form. Henderson's someone you can consider in a tournament, but I think spending up for shooting guards is probably the way to go. Ian Clark, Barbosa, Rush, none of those guys I think are going to tickle anyone's fancy. At small forward, Harry Barnes at 4,400. Maybe. You might look at Barnes. If I'm spending that fourth, I'd rather take Damari Carroll at 48 than Barnes at 44. I can take Iguodala at 4,700, and I would rather take him at 4,700 than Barnes. Mo Harkless at 5,100. No way I'm taking Harkless over Barnes or Iguodala at this point. For the power forwards, we've got Eddie Davis at 3,600. He's not really doing enough for me to like him at that price. Draymond at 9,600, the most expensive player on the board. I almost think you have to get him out there. He's averaging 52 across the last three. He's averaging 57 the last three times he's played Portland. At 9,600, I think you spend up there. You go cheap with Livingston at point guard. You go cheap with some small forwards. And I think you've got to get Draymond in at power forward. Al-Farouq Aminu at 5,600, not a bad guy to pair with Green. You can consider doing that. If you don't want to spend that $6,600 for Luol Deng in the earlier game, I wouldn't be expecting 30 points out of Aminu, but 25 might be enough to get it done. The other guys like Spates and McAdoo, not really worth it. At center, Andy Bogut at 44, not the best option there. Valanciunas and Whiteside are the better two centers, but if you really need to get, say, Clay and Draymond and Lillard in and you don't have the cash, Bogut is a decent guy to go with. More of a tournament guy than a cash game because he can. You know, he only played 16 minutes in game two after a really good game one. But at 4,400, he's got the ability to go for 25 or 27 points. Plumlee has been limited in this series compared to what he did versus the Clippers. At 6,200, I'm not sure that's all that wise of an investment. While Festus Ezeli was great in game two, he's at 3,600. He is another option. You want to save some more money. He had 18 points in that game two. And at 3,600, the way that he played there, you could see him maybe going for that 17, 18 points again. And that's not a complete write-off of a guy to have a look at. We're done. I told you it was going to be a short one. Again, always tweet at me at redrock_bball. Make sure you're checking out basketballmonster.com and hardwoodparoxysm.com for all the great articles and podcasts that the guys over at HP have got. Make sure you're checking all that stuff out. We are done. Enjoy playoff basketball tomorrow. We'll be back with another show previewing Sunday's games. Then, thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.